verse 7 and 8, and then we'll flip quickly to Genesis 50, verse 20. And Scripture says, "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt." And when we turn over to chapter 50, verse 20, it says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." So we're going to talk about this morning, beauty from the broken. So as we go through, brokenness is not something that we often attribute to beauty. My kids find it funny that my nose has been broken multiple times. They find it hilarious because my nose does this. Right? Now, here's the thing. It's been broken more than once. That doesn't really hurt. And I deserved each and every one of them. I had that coming. Amen? There was a lesson to be learned. Normally, it took me to get over the fight and to calm my nerves, but I had to realize, yeah, I had that coming. And the thing is when we think of brokenness, we never really think that it's a beautiful thing. When my car breaks down, it's not something I'm happy about. As my body breaks down, it's not something I'm happy about. As we go through brokenness, we often see just the ugliness of broken things. That's why we have junkyards and dumps and landfills. But what God can do in brokenness is bring something that was more beautiful than before it was ever broken. And the focus verse really is a powerful revelation that I believe as Christians we have to get a hold of, is that I'm not sent in this by you. You meant this for evil, but he meant it for good. And as long as we can hold on to, you know, that we know that God says, "I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." If we can really get a hold of that, that becomes something that's going to get us through every storm. Because now I am trusting on you rather than what I'm going through. And with Joseph, as Joseph went through this, I find Joseph an amazing person in the Bible. What an amazing journey. And yet, if there's any problem that I would say that can be had with the Bible, it's always me. I can read, I know the end of the story, and so since I know the end of the story, I can detach myself from what the character's actually going through. And then, when it becomes me, now I have a problem. Because I never really stopped to consider, why is Joseph going through this? What must Joseph be experiencing? We just hear about things that happened to Joseph. You don't actually read a lot about what Joseph is thinking. You don't really get a lot of internal dialogue. You just basically get facts and a couple key statements that he'll make. Like, how can I do this great sin against God? That even in a place where most would tell you God has abandoned you, he realizes, no, he's still here. And I cannot sin against him. I know that in my walk, in places where I end up that I wouldn't expect, that becomes the time when the enemy will most tell you, you can do this, because look where you're at. If he loved you, he wouldn't have sent you here. That's not true. That's not true at all. Because if there is a fault with Christianity, and even within our own organization, it's there is this mentality that all I really need is deliverance. I don't need transformation. That my compliance with Acts 2:38 fulfills everything. Nope, that initiates it. You've now stepped into salvation. You see, because with Israel, God took Israelites out of Egypt. Didn't take them long to remove the chains, but it took 40 years to remove the mentality. What you can do as you sit in these pews is you can come in broken. You can come in like I did, under all sorts of bondage, that no medical profession, no amount of self-will can get you out of. People don't understand. They call it PTSD and they think, well, that's a medical condition. It's not. It's a spiritual one. Because the ones who see the most combat are most susceptible to suicide. And nobody can convince me that special forces, men who do not know how to say I quit, are the ones that put the guns in their mouths. And you honestly think that it's because they went through something medically. You think that it's a mental problem when these are the toughest men I've ever met. But they're wrestling against spirits without the Spirit of God. And even the toughest men can't win this fight. When Joseph went down to where he was, I believe it was for Joseph's sake. Because you are not ready for what I promised you. You do not have a heart that can have what I just showed you. I told you what I'm going to do with you. He sat there and he was concerned. Hey, I just had a dream. I saw these sheaves. They were bowing to me. You all are going to bow to me. You never asked why. All you saw is the bowing. Joseph, you don't have the heart that can serve yet. And so I know me as God has given me great promises, and he has. He began promises, and then it went in a direction I never thought it would. And I found pain. And I found things that broke me. And I found myself being whipped and stripped. And I found things in me that I didn't realize was there. I found things that I thought was others. I remember one night I was asking God, God, make me a clean heart. Help me. Because I recognize I got stones. I recognize that within me is all four types of soil. I recognize it's not an equal proportion. And I also recognize I can't work this field without you. And so, God answered. He just didn't answer as I thought he would. And he never does. He started bringing people to offend me. And so, every time they would offend me, I'd go to God with it. God, what are you going to do about it? The answer never changed. Pray for them. Okay. Simple enough. So I pray. They do it again. God, what are you going to do about it? Pray for them. Okay. Well, eventually that process gets a little hard. Because I went to God. I said, your word says If your brother should come and ask for forgiveness at 70 times 7, what happens when they don't? So then it becomes, as I have forgiven you. It's like, uh-oh. Okay. And then, when I think I can get a hold of it, it becomes worse. And it becomes more abundant. And more people start to do it. And then I found, as Joseph did, not everybody who calls themselves a brother is going to be happy you just got a covering and a promise. And so as I went through that, I found myself in dry places where you're thirsting and people wouldn't give you a drink of water at all. God, what are you going to do about this? Pray for them. Okay. And my okay started becoming a why. Why? Why should I pray? And the moment it went from okay to why, I was now no longer questioning them, I was questioning him. And the moment I went from questioning him, it quickly turned into hardness. And when it turned into hardness, it went from I'm handing it over to I'm shaking my fist. You said you'd defend me. You call this defense? You said you'd have my back. I have more knives in it. I have more things stuck in my back than a porcupine. I even went so far as to say, God, you say if I, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more so should you, being a good father? I said, but if somebody came into my house to abuse my kids, I guarantee you I'd get up and do something about it. Right? Because I'm just talking stupid. Just talking stupid. Because I don't see. It's one of the reasons I love chess, because it reminds me I don't see. 64 squares on a board, 16 pieces per side, and I cannot see the next move. And yet I'll stand before God's throne thinking that I know the next step in this plan, when I don't even know the next step in a simple children's game. Now we're talking about an eternal game that was played out before there was ever a piece to move. And he won it before there was ever an adversary. But here's Joseph. You need to be broken, son. Because you're more concerned with your position than who's going to be at your feet. And so I know that God went and took me to those places because as I asked him, remove my stones, there was a night I kept asking and he stopped talking. Because once I went from this to this, he's kind of done. He's going to let you stop with that tantrum. I got my fair share of spankings, just like my nose, I earned them. My God's not cruel. But one night, I was in prayer. I said, God, why are you doing this? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to show me? And at that moment, he said, look at how many stones you picked up against them. I said, yeah. And he said, where do you think those stones came from? They didn't put them there. I gave you a reason to pick them up. You wanted them out. Now pray for them. Lay it at my feet. It's the only way it gets out of your soil. Sometimes God is so merciful that
that what he does is he breaks us. He does. His word is a flaming hammer that breaketh the rock. Some rocks in your life are too big for you to pick up. So what he does is he breaks you so you can take it out piece by piece. It's more manageable that way. I can move a mountain one stone at a time. But with our God, what we miss often is that brokenness is promised. Those who fall upon the rock will be broken. Brokenness is promised in your intimate contact with him. Because the Lord is near the brokenhearted. There are times where God has been so merciful that he's broke my heart just to show me he's near me. Because my hardness of heart couldn't perceive it. Here's Joseph. You're going down. We don't know what Joseph did. Did Joseph try and escape on his journey to Egypt? I don't know. But what I do know is that Joseph, because the Lord was with him, everywhere Joseph went, those that were over him got blessed. I don't hear Joseph getting blessed. Yeah, he was elevated because they saw a blessing. But wouldn't it be strange if we knew that the Ishmaelites that sold him, they bought him for 20 pieces of silver? Would it change the story if we found out somehow that they got a great sum for selling him? That they were blessed. I bought you for 20 pieces of silver, sold you for 100 pieces of gold. That was a great business deal. Thanks, Joseph. Here you are. You go under submission to go get your brothers because your father said so. I think it's strange that you and Benjamin are the only ones not out there tending sheep. Wouldn't that cause some jealousy? Everybody else is working. That seems to be beneath you. That'd be the mentality if I was out in the field. I've been in the military. I know how we talk about officers. You ain't out in the dirt with us. But everything was initiated because he was in submission. It's one of the reasons that submission is so important. Not only because of holiness, not only because of him. And I'm not discounting that. In fact, these are more important, but I'm also adding to it that in some things you walk in, you need to know that the steps that led you there were ordered. They weren't rebellious. Because when all hell breaks out in your life, you need to know who walked you into that hell. And sometimes it's really going to be hard to know if I led my own feet there. Because did I do this to myself? Was I in alignment? Was I in his will? But the Father ordered him, and now all this happened. He went to prison because he would not sin against God. But your coat of many colors was taken away, and the coat of a slave was given. When the coat of a slave was taken away, the chains of a prisoner were given. And the truth is I can stand up here and tell you I'm humble. But anything that will resist me being lowered, that needs to be broken. Because anything that's going to oppose the direction down is going to try and steal the glory when it comes up. If you want to be the greatest, you must be the least. And if you're truly humble, you got to be able to be lowered. You got to be able to go down. But the truth is that the lowest is the greatest, because this spiritual house, while others may be stepping on you, you're the one that's closest to the foundation. Yes, you bear a lot of weight. And yes, the pastor bears a lot of weight, but he's the one that's touching the foundation. Sometimes it's not a mentality shift needs to happen, that it's not you stepping on me, it's that I am holding you up so that you can reach something that I couldn't. That together we can access something. Joseph, what did you need to learn? Paul called himself the Pharisee of Pharisees. He never called himself the Christian of Christians. But he did call himself a sinner of sinners. Of all the sinners, I am chief. And I don't think he ever once said that tongue in cheek. He truly meant it. Because in his zealousness, he was an enemy of God. Wouldn't that be hard to swallow? I'm trying to find you, and I'm your greatest persecutor. That's why there are ways that seem right to a man. But Joseph, you have to go. Because Paul, he said, I am a prisoner of Christ. He never once called himself a prisoner of Rome. I know who put me in these shackles. I know why I'm here. I'm here because the Lord is with me. And the Lord wants to preach to the prisoners. And he trusts me to stay so connected that I don't make it about me, I still preach to them. Joseph had that heart. But I also know that Joseph was a man. While he was a type and shadow of Jesus, I don't make Joseph Jesus. You cannot make me believe for one second that there were not bad days with poor Joseph. And while I cannot prove it scripturally, I call upon what I do know of the Lord to say, I personally believe that Joseph had his dreams more than once. Because I know that in my dark seasons, God has reminded me of what I've called you to become. And if you don't think that slavery in Egypt and imprisonment can make you question, and that you might not need a reminder, I wonder if his first night in prison, when he cried himself to sleep, if all of a sudden he saw the sheaves bowing again. I wonder that he was reminded, I haven't left you. Nothing has changed. Because I know that in my seasons when I don't see anything, and I still don't, I don't see, God will remind me, nothing has changed. I know the plans I have for you. I know what I've called you. But Christianity has become something where we reject brokenness. To the point that the cross has become a decal on a car, has become a pendant on a necklace, has become a photo or a graphic we share on social media rather than something we spiritually bear with us every day. Because bearing a cross will break you.
I want to know God. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know your strength. Okay, here we go. I'm going to put you through something where your strength can't get you through it. I'm going to break it. God, I want to learn to trust. Okay, here we go. Pastor's laughing. I know he's done it. And he has the response. But the whole reason I'm going to put you through this is because it is be my great will to save people. You are his people. You are called by his name. Who do you think he's going to break to show his beauty? To people who are blind. It's going to be us. And yet, I've heard it preached, even in this organization. We won't call it the prosperity gospel, but boy, we sure are hitting a rumble strip. We're throwing sparks on a guardrail. We're about ready to cross the line. Oh, God, he'll only elevate you. Really? Uh-uh. God's humbled me. I'm not saying I'm the definition, but I'm saying more people have been humbled than I know have been elevated. And I've never known a person to be elevated without being humbled. And if you've been elevated without being humbled, you ain't going to be elevated long. Because we sit here and we want the great calls of God, but there has never been a great man or woman who hasn't gone through process. To me, the greatest danger that is exhibited in this Bible as far as a skipping process is Solomon. Here I am. No process, just appointment. What'd you do? You finished Dad's work. And the only reason Dad didn't do it is because he was told not to. That wasn't on your heart. That was on his. And he commanded you, ordered you, you will finish this. I wanted to do this. I was told, no, you'll have to do it. And so once that was done, what was now your new work? What did you do for him? Nothing. You're the one that built every single idol every nation ever knew, and it stayed there until they went into exile. That's what you did. Now, there was people that tore them down, and there was people that came that built them right back up. You weren't broken, so the nation was broken. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. And I know where your wisdom went, because you chased after money until silver was worthless. Joseph, you think you'll be different? You won't. Not without process. This is why we're broken. Because the mentality is that I think once I'm delivered, God can now use me. No, God has to now shape me into his image. And I've had a lifetime, of building up things I think I am, building up things that I perceive to be true that have to be addressed. In fact, the carnal mind is such enmity against God that I have to wrestle my own thoughts against promises. I get a promise, my mind already starts to map out what this might mean and how this is going to come to pass and how God's going to do this. And oh, this, step one, step two, step three. And then all of a sudden, as God starts breaking that, I start getting brokenhearted because I was sure this is our plan. You said the sheaves are going to bow. Yeah, but not for the reason you think, Joseph. You're here because they're going to need to be saved. And in your breaking, God broke more than just Joseph.
God broke the brothers. Here's Judah. Let's sell him. To the next time, no, take me instead. Because he watched what it did to his dad. He watched as it broke his father. I can't do that twice. Sometimes I really believe we need to sit in the fullness of the pain when we break his heart until we despise it. I won't do that twice. But too often, I know I've made the immature mistake of leaving an altar the second I feel forgiven, instead of leaving the altar when I've killed that and made sure it never happened again. Joseph, I ain't here for you to subject your brothers. I am breaking you so that they would know my grace. Israel, Jacob, you didn't know that you served a God of resurrection. First thing you read about Israel doing, he couldn't even receive the news. You know, people sit here and say, oh, well, that's a lack of faith. Maybe it's a great brokenness. Even God acknowledges you can't pour new wine into old wineskins, and that one was broken. He couldn't even receive it. But here we are. Once he knew, once he saw. Sometimes people get so broken, they need more than just to hear, they need to see. Hey, Thomas, nobody called you a doubter except your brothers and sisters. And we still do that. Well, where's the evidence? Where's your faith? Sometimes I need a touch. Sometimes I need to have my eyes shifted. And God is gracious. But here's Israel. Once he got a hold of that revelation that it was true, first thing he did, he went and sacrificed. Can you imagine? You as parents, you thought your kid was dead. You thought your kid was dead. And now you know he's alive? Hold on, I got to make a pit stop. Really? How many of us would that be our mentality? What are we waiting for? Let's go. But he's the one saying, no, 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 no. Can't go just yet. I have to give glory to God. And Israel, you're about ready to find out a breaking process too. Not only were you broken by this, you're going to go through a further breaking process that I believe takes place. Can you be under people that used to be under you? Can you have to be sustained and live off of their walk and positioning when you used to be positioned over them? Because that's going to take some humility. Because you're not coming into Egypt to become number two Israel. That wasn't your calling. Because even the moon has to bow. You have to know. This breaking changed the mentality of that family. This breaking saved many people. It saved Egyptians. But you look at people throughout the Bible, it always happens. Moses had it happen. Egyptians despise shepherds. What'd you become, Moses? Time to be a shepherd. Because whatever residue of that Egyptian mentality was in you, I'm going to make you do what they despise doing. I'm going to break it. Here's a man that through his calling, I'm called to lead, thought it within himself to kill another man and was not sorry for it, was fearful he'd be found out. But now, after being in the wilderness, God has worked a work in his life that he's trying to say, no, don't call me. He went from, yeah, I'm the man, to God, I don't know. Now you're ready. Because now you're going to realize it wasn't you. Oh, well, I can't speak. Good. Good. Because when you stand before the Pharaoh and the stuttering stops and power and authority starts coming out of your mouth, you know that wasn't you. I hate to public speak. I get butterflies and knots in my stomach waiting to go. I am never nervous the second I come up here. The moment it starts, something else comes. And I know that ain't me, because if you were to give me the option, if pastor's like, I'll take this one today, I'd be like, dodge that bullet. Man, thank you. Yes, I had a word. Yes, I know what God said. But whew, oh, you just took that feeling out of my gut. But the moment it starts, that feeling leaves too. Because I know it's not me. And too often, we are waiting for the temple to be exalted because of who's in it, rather than the temple getting broken to release what's in the temple. Because that earthquake broke that temple. It not only broke the temple, it rent the veil. And here I am, I'm veiling flesh. And I think, well, God, when he starts to shake, he's just shaking things in place. Sometimes he's shaking to get out. Oh, I want that well of living water to be in me that brings forth the rivers. But I read in Genesis, the fountains of the deep were broken up. That ground had to be broken for it to come out. And yeah, I speak in tongues, but there's deep rivers that flow when I'm praying in brokenness. Deep, powerful, sweeping things come out. I'm not minimizing just praying in tongue, but I'm talking about the power that comes forth when a broken vessel is there. Because you know, when you're broken to the point that I can pour out into others and it's not about me, you know God stops pouring out when the vessel's full. And if I have something in me that keeps the flow going, then that keeps the flow going. But the moment it becomes about me containing, I've lost it. I want to know the massiveness of God is like taking a glass down to the ocean, picking it up and be like, behold the Pacific. Like, yeah, technically it's true. But you've really missed the vast power that it is. You've missed the depths that it contains. You missed the life that is held within it. Behold. That's why I don't believe in selling ourselves short. When you get a promise, when you get a dream, that's amazing. I'm all for you. But you better know, that dream has just initiated process. And one of the worst things that ever happened to me was people hiding their process. You overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. You know what the worst thing was me going through process is people making me believe that something strange was happening to me. Oh, well, that would only happen to you if you were in rebellion. Whew. God wouldn't put you through that. God, why do you hate me? I just want to know you. I don't hate you. It's brutal. Because people need to know the hope of our God. But you better show them the cracks so that you can show his masterful work at healing. Let me tell you what I used to deal with. Let me show you the scars because they bear his glory. These were things I could not fix myself. These were things I could not bear myself. These were things that were bringing me to destruction. And somehow he stepped in, and not only did he lift it, he turned it into a testimony that glorifies his strength. Joseph was, you meant this for evil, but let me tell you what God just did. Let me tell you, you think that you were doing something, but I was led here by God. He used this. That's why Joseph couldn't have escaped. If you tried to escape, God would have made sure they found you and brought you back, because the process cannot ever be escaped. You want God? You're going to have an Egypt. You're going to have a wilderness experience. David, oh, I'm king. Now my dad will recognize me. I'm better than all of you brothers. Oh, I went right to the thing. I'm commander of the armies. Time for process, David. Because the mightier you are, the more broken you're going to have to be. Because you're more dangerous than Saul, David. You're able to fight things he ran from. What happens when you get pride? Look at him. This was a man that was afraid of a fight, but he'll fight the guy that defeated the man he was afraid of. What happens if David's pursuing you? Absalom, you're only spared because David didn't. You met destruction because you pursued. It wasn't David's hand that came against you. We sit here and we want to know mercy. I want to know the mercy of God and the depth of his love. And so then he gives me a cross. Lets others crucify me, and then says, now pray for them. I don't want to. Yeah. But it ain't about you. It's about who's in you. Pray for him. Pray for them. You want to know mercy? Okay. Then I'm going to put you in a place where you need to show it. Because you don't learn it when you're just, oh, I need to get it. You learn the price of mercy when you have to give it. And that's what the whole point was. He said, Joseph, the moment I broke you, they glorified me. The Pharaoh said, is there any man as wise as this? It wasn't because of you, Joseph. It's because of me. If this church is going to be the greatness that it's called to be, what I heard at the beginning of this year, I heard double. I've heard the great things that God's been releasing. Here's 172,000 angels. Here's a new warrior angel. Here's this. Here's that. Promise after promise. You know what I hear? Here comes process. Get ready, Joseph. We just got the coat. Get ready. Because he's going to make sure that we can bear what he just promised. And that those that come to bow, they're not being lorded. They're being served and sustained. That they would be kept alive. Amen. All right. So
greet one another in the Lord. We're going to have church here in 15 minutes ready to worship. God bless you.